Before coming to the studio this morning, I took a stroll next to a river called the Olifants River in South Africa. It's a wildlife area. And then I saw something interesting. Standing on the banks of the river, suddenly I saw a crocodile coming towards me. Well, I put myself in reverse and walked away. But you know, if that thing gets hold of you, those jaws are so strong, it's difficult to get out of them. In this lecture, we're going to look at the jaws of bitterness that gets hold of us. And maybe if you are in the jaws of bitterness, may God help you through the lecture to overcome bitterness. Well, from the shores of the Red Sea, after seeing that beautiful song of deliverance, the pillar of cloud led them in a southerly direction. Question, was it an easy journey through the desert? Their eyes were used to the lush of Wadi Tumilat, ancient Goshen. And suddenly, they see contrast, sand and desert and dunes. And sometimes nature has a depressing effect upon you, especially when there's no green around. Can you see the thousands of Egyptian corpses scattered on the beaches of the Red Sea? You know, while I walked here, I imagined the sad sight next to the Red Sea. But in spite of all the negatives, they were rejoicing in their newfound freedom. The song just carried on in their minds, the song of deliverance. The road was not paved, and after a while, little ones and older ones began asking different questions. For instance, where are we going? The GPS was taking them in a wrong direction. They should have gone north to the land of promise. And questions like, when will we get to our destination, Canaan? Maybe your children, when you drive along, when are we reaching our destination? And it says in Exodus 15, verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur. What a contrast. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found, listen to this, no water. They walked the entire day in the shade of a huge, friendly, miraculous cloud. Late that afternoon, the huge cloud came to an halt. What an experience. They spent the entire day in the shade of this friendly, miraculous cloud, and then it changed into a pillar of fire. After sunset, the pillar of cloud changed into a huge pillar of fire. You know, one day on the Eastern Channel, I'd love to tune in and see this. What a sight. What a considerate God. God was telling them something through this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. No need for blankets. It's quite cool in the Sinai Desert at night. Why no need for blankets? Well, because the pillar of fire regulated the temperature. God was trying to make it as easy as possible for them. This is the God we serve. Although weary, they kept on talking till late that night. They are a delivered people. Everything felt like a dream. Could this be true? Are we really away from slavery on our way to the land of promise? The next morning, the pillar of fire took on the form of a pillar of cloud and continued in a southerly direction. They wanted to go north, but now they're going south. They followed in obedience. It's very important to follow the Lord in obedience and not your own way. Fortunately, they still had some water left in their water bottles made of sheep skin. Hopefully, they would soon fill them with fresh fountain, cool water. We all have expectations. On the following evening, someone comes to you. I don't want to bother you, but have you got a little water for my child? He is so thirsty and I've ran out of water. The focus of discussions shifts from the Red Sea deliverance to a water crisis. You know, it's dangerous what's going on here. So what is the content, by the way, of your conversation? Is it a long story of tragedies, complaining, moaning? Where does God's goodness fit into our conversations? Hieroglyphics tell us that donkeys were mostly in demand in Egypt and in Sinai. They could go without water for 4 days. Well, now it was 3 days. So the donkeys couldn't get very much further down the line. But the other domesticated animals couldn't compete with the water economy of the donkey. The little ones pled in vain for water. Here is another test. Life has got many tests. And our reactions are so important. 2 million people drag their feet across the waterless desert sands and dunes. Can you see them in your mind's eye? 2 million of them moving forward, following the cloud, the pillar, to a southern direction. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water in the wilderness. Sometimes we have waterless experiences. You've been there, I've been there. Mommy, where is the Nile? I want to swim in the Nile. I need water. Mommy, Daddy, I'm so thirsty. Please give me some water. Has your child asked you something that you couldn't give them? This is a very embarrassing situation. Can you begin to appreciate their predicament? You know, we're so easy to judge people. But look at the circumstances here. But then in the distance they saw it. An oasis. And shouts of joy went up. Water, water, water. Moses knew that the water was bitter, but the cloud was leading, as in the case of the Red Sea, straight to the bitter waters. My friend, God has got a plan for us. He wants to develop us. And trials, when seen as educators, will produce joy. Fortunately, they were used to miracles, and when they tasted the bitter waters, they asked God to please change it into cool, refreshing spring water. So God listened to their prayers and the miracle took place. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Have you had a sip or two of bitter waters in your life? Maybe sometimes it's more bitter than sweet. By the way, who was leading them? And who are leading us? You know, if you've given your life and heart to Christ, He will lead you. Leave Him in His leading in your life. And don't become bitter. Have your sweet dreams, my friend, changed into bitter regrets? Are you blaming somebody for your bitter water experiences? I've discovered that it is much easier to blame someone else for my calamities and bitterness than trusting in God. I've got so many lessons to learn, and maybe you too. From the time of their departure from Egypt to their entry into Canaan, God proved, tested his people on many occasions. First at the Red Sea, now at Marah, and later at many other places. This series is going to be very exciting. I like the way God speaks to us through Scripture. Why do you think God proves us? To train us under comparatively easy circumstances for experiences we will face in future. If we overcome this present crisis in our lives, God is going to help us to gain the victory over the next one as well. How did Moses handle the nagging, fault-finding nation of Israel? Definitely not like the three monkeys in the picture. Closed his eyes? No. Was he speechless? He didn't want to hear anything. What about us? How do we cope in crisis situations? There's a bit of humor in this bitter water experience at Marah. I read this English. I love it. You know, it fits the Middle East. look at the spelling. Who is the lady on the left in the red, laughing at these ladies who reacted on tasting the bitter waters? You know, at times people become laughing stocks. How did God view these moaners? Don't be laughing stocks by reacting negatively to every situation. We are making fools of ourselves. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Don't become a corpse in the wilderness of life through complaining, criticizing. Let us be positive. God needs positive people. The world needs positive people. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. What I learned from this experience is not to moan and criticize and complain. May God help us on this issue. When we complain, we give vent to our bitterness and disappointments. And by the way, people doesn't like to listen to this. The result, it's getting worse. The more you complain, the worse your problem becomes. Does the Bible tell me how to handle the unfair treatments of life? I need a paradigm shift. But how do I do it? We don't want to be bitter people, negative, emotionally negative people. When we complain, we vent, as I said, our bitterness and disappointments. And James says, "My brethren, count it all joy." What a paradigm shift. All joy when you fall into various trials. And then, the bottom line, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God wants us to become patient people through trials. The most lovely people I've seen in life have changed the disappointments into blessings. At Marah, I was lecturing Loretta, my daughter. She's at the well there. I said to her, "You have a choice. You can allow bitter experiences to make you either better or bitter. And my dear friend, you also have to choose between the two B's, bitter or better. May God help us to become better and not bitter in this life. If you are at Mara, this very moment, you don't want to be there. Maybe God wants you to learn the valuable lessons He wants to learn you, teach you. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. What a philosophy the Bible gives us. Biblical symbolism of water. So she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Biblical symbolism of water. Evil people, they make us bitter. How does bad people become good people? My friend, if you've got a problem, God wants to help you. He wants to help me. Only when the message of the wooden cross enters the bitter heart can there be heavenly peace and sweetness. My dear friend, please make use of heaven's cure for those bitter experiences of life. He came to his own. This is our Savior. And his own did not receive him. Have you tried to pray for those who crucified you? Looking at the cross, I find the solution to my rejection by my enemies, because he was rejected. Do not become bitter or depressed. Remain positive. How did he react? He died for me. Then Jesus said, Father, and this is the secret, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. People don't realize how much harm they do. And all you and I can do, say, Lord, I forgive him or her. Looking at the cross, I find the solution to my rejection by the enemies. And you'll always have enemies in life, by the way. So he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Do you need healing? The cross of Calvary, a meditation of what happened there, turns every bitter experience into something sweet. Looking unto Jesus is the secret. After the thirst was quenched, here at Mara, the Lord spoke to them on the topic of health. This to me was interesting in researching this section of the Bible. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, if you want to be healthy, heed it, and do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. This is a psychological book, the Bible, to bring us healing. So if you do this, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Healing and obedience are twins. If Israel would obey God's law in love, that's a law of love, he would heal them just as he healed the waters. We experience holistic health when the joy of obedience floods in our hearts and minds. If you do what is right, you experience health. When I realized that I obey the one who created me from my mother's womb, something life-changing took place. By the way, this is a portrayal of Hatshepsut in a mother's womb, 3 months. I took this picture at Deir al-Bari. Does the Bible list some of the diseases of Egypt? The Bible mentions it, but let's look at this. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Deuteronomy 28 verse 27. Egyptian tomb paintings of healthy people. Listen to God's promises in Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. God wants us to be healthy. And this lecture may help you to become a more healthy person. Two of the most prominent illnesses were eye and skin infections. This is what you see in the tombs. A study of the mummies and the Egyptian writing, in the Egyptian writings, tell us of the different kinds of sicknesses they experienced. Here you see, if you look carefully, a lady with big legs. This could be an elephantine sickness. The Lord wanted to heal the Egyptians and Israel. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, He speaks to us through nature, through the Bible, and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. If you are doing something contrary to God's will, you can become sick. Sickness and disobedience are twins. Obedience and health are also twins. Maybe we need to make a few changes in our habits and thinking. The Egyptian physicians were famous all over the ancient Near East, but extant texts show that they did not consider the power of healing to be their own, but their gods. They believed their God could bring healing. And we should follow this pattern of thinking. God can heal us, and He wants to heal us. In their medical handbooks, some of which are now 4,000 years old, diseases are divided into three classes. Those that can be treated, number one. Those who can be arrested, number two. And those who cannot be cured. Now, this is very interesting. The medical science has advanced tremendously since the days of Moses. The above classification still stands. A loving God longs to heal you. Don't prevent Him by healing you through a wrong lifestyle. Please obey Him. Live out the life, the light that you receive. The surgeon can make an incision, remove an organ, and sew up the wound, but he cannot heal the wound. Only God can. Macmillan, in his book, and this is, I recommend this little book, None of These Diseases, he deals with the medical value of the health laws that God gave to Moses. Let us move on and visit the next site. Then they came to Elam. What a difference. where there were 12 wells with sweet water and 70 palm trees, dates hanging there. So they camped there by the waters. I like the way God leads us. Just trust Him. Let us go through the tests and enjoy His spoiling us at times. So don't despair, my friend. Soon, very soon, we will reach the heavenly Elim and enjoy the water of life coming from the throne of God and taste the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. There's always something good ahead of us. What a contrast between the brown sand and the green grass. So God brought them to water, to the Red Sea. What a beautiful spot in the desert. We must train our minds to focus on the promised land that is without bitter waters and dreary deserts. We get depressed if we just concentrate on the negatives of life, transcend them, and think about heaven. After spending a long time in the desert, I really enjoyed the beauty of this oasis. Green is good for my eyes. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And when you wipe the tears of somebody, you embrace them. So God is going to embrace us. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21 verse 4. Let us replace the word why with thank you, Lord. You want to teach me something. I'm willing to be taught. And then proceed to the promised land. Stay positive. You cannot afford to miss out on the next lecture. God is full of pleasant surprises. And I invite you to come and enjoy it. Father in heaven, forgive us for being so negative at times. And right now, help us to learn lessons from the trials. And if we do that, we will experience joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.